This episode of the Sales Leadership Podcast is brought to you by Sales Leadership United. Since 2019, Sales Leadership United has grown to become the largest collection of sales leadership assets in the world. Check out salesleadershipunited.com and tap into tools used by elite sales leaders worldwide. Accelerate your leadership development. Solve modern sales challenges. Use fully prepped sales meetings in your next team meeting. Thousands of hours of sales leadership materials indexed and searchable with a single click. Create your own personal sales leadership library. Head to salesleadershipunited.com and use the code Rob at signup to get a free trial on me. Hi, I'm Rob Jepson, and my mission is to help sales leaders everywhere create record-setting growth from the companies they lead. I'm here to share the secrets of the world's most successful sales leaders. I don't care how big the company or how big the team, we showcase sales leaders who are taking what the market gives and then some. This show features leaders of teams who are beating their markets, winning at crazy rates, and creating life-changing years for the people they lead. The Sales Leadership Podcast is brought to you by Sales Leadership United, the world's largest collection of sales leadership assets. Be sure to check out the all-new salesleadershipunited.com. Fast-track your sales leadership development, gain insights into how other sales leaders are solving challenges similar to the ones you face, and tap into over 400 leadership topics, hundreds of video insights, battle-tested leadership frameworks, and new material that comes out every single week. Sales Leadership United is the easiest investment in yourself you'll ever make. Head to salesleadershipunited.com, use the code Rob at signup, and get a free trial on me. Now, get ready for some serious insights from sales leaders who are making it happen. And remember, don't worry, we got you. Hello and welcome to the Sales Leadership Podcast, where high growth sales leaders share high growth practices and tactics. Man, I am glad to hear from so many of you on just how impactful this last couple rounds of guests have been. You're right, they've been amazing. I'm so appreciative of your support of the show, and I'm so grateful for all the DMs you keep sending me sharing how the show is fueling high impact moments in your career. Please keep them coming. It's why I do the show, and I'm pumped to tell you I'm going to give you another one of those guests again today. I am excited to bring you a guest I am pumped to introduce to the show. Annie Mosbacher is the co-founder and chief strategy officer of Decoded Strategies. Annie has some impressive executive customer success and marketing roles all across the tech sector. And along the way, she's become obsessed on these intersection points where sales and marketing create the biggest impact. And I'm excited to dive into some of those today. Along the way, she's helped scale organizations from zero to over 50 million ARR in a number of different organizations. But Annie chose to go on and found Decoded Strategies so she could help teams communicate more effectively with their audiences. She's helped some of the most iconic organizations in the world eliminate confusion and not just communicate, but really authentically connect in powerful ways. And one of the tools her team helps people use with great success, it's storytelling. And today we're going to dive into why so many organizations communicate, but few truly connect. And maybe more important, what you as sales leaders can do about it. So this is going to be a fun one. I cannot wait to get rolling. Annie, welcome to the Sales Leadership Podcast, and thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited about today.
It's going to be a fun one. You are doing some really cool things, and I got 50,000 listeners that are in for a treat today. So, man, thank you, Annie. This is exciting. Why don't you start by introducing Decoded Strategies and yourself and what you do for customers all around the world?
Yeah, so I'm one of the co-founders of Decoded Strategies. We are a messaging and content strategy firm. So we really specialize in helping companies that sell something complex find simple and conversational ways of communicating about what they sell to their audience. So this was really born from the learning that I found in my career, that a lot of companies jump straight into marketing and sales tactics without taking the time to really align as a team around how are we communicating about our company? How are we positioning our brand? What is our true value proposition? And can we communicate in that in a way that, you know, really resonates with our audience? And so when companies do that, when they jump into tactics like, you know, spray and pray cold outreach, or, you know, throwing content, you know, behind a paywall or paid ads, you end up running the risk of wasting all that time and energy and confusing the audience. So we really focus on that messaging piece, which I believe comes before absolutely anything else in marketing and sales.
Well, there's a lot of angles we could go today with that kind of an introduction, because you're right. I believe we're in a really noisy world, and it's not going to like declutter itself anytime soon. It's super easy to amplify anybody these days, and I love where you focused. That's awesome. Let me ask you a follow-up question then on that. So that's what you guys do. Your personal journey, what led you to decide to double down on this idea of connecting rather than just communicating? Because I'll just look to share that with the audience. One of the things that I followed you, I've connected with you, I've watched you on LinkedIn, but what made me reach out was you had a really awesome LinkedIn post around the difference between like just communication and connection. I was like, that, I gotta have that on my show. So what led you to decide to double down on that?
Oh, so awesome. So I was thinking about this conversation actually, and I have like an origin story that I think it might come back to, which is like interesting to unpack. So, back in like high school days, college days, I was a big LiveJournal user. Did you ever use LiveJournal, Rob? Is that like a tool that
I
you?
know LiveJournal well. I just didn't use it. I'm still old school. Like right now, for people to watch the video, I got a
You've got
pen in
some
my
paper and a
hand. Yeah.
pen.
I'm old school. So yeah.
Oh God, I was just a sucker for LiveJournal. So basically, it was like a blog that you could kind of gate based on who you wanted to read it. Oh, I love it. I love it. So a big LiveJournal user. And when you're in high school, college, you're always thinking about all the like super deep, pretentious thoughts that you possibly can. So there was one that always stuck in my mind was like this idea of people, when you encounter people so often, you have two humans that are trying to communicate, but they're actually just waiting for their turn to talk. And that was like one of the college deep thoughts that I had that has always stuck with me, unlike many of my LiveJournal posts, which probably exist out there in the ether. And I think that that was something as, a human that really prioritizes communication. I've always really appreciated people who are, high on the EQ scale, that ability to really listen and communicate empathically. And so I think that that has always been a really like core part of who I am. So as I transitioned into the tech space and have worked in honestly anything nose to tail across the customer experience from sales to customer success to marketing, I found exactly like you just said, there's so many processes and strategies in this revenue, go-to-market world that can amplify anything. And you pay a lot of money to amplify. But if you amplify something that's like kind of crappy and that doesn't resonate with people, what's the point, right? So I think that has really led me down, like really in my career, led me down this path of, okay, how can you find ways to truly connect with folks? And that's where storytelling became a big part of my own learning, my own career, my own journey. And now, of course, is a really big part of what we communicate, and sell to our audience and to our clients.
All right, that is awesome. I'm so excited. I've had a chance to speak with you before we record today, and to my audience, to our listeners, like you're gonna be really happy. I chased Annie down, and we reeled her into the boat because you can already feel her energy, and I can't wait to dive in because you have very fresh perspectives on things that matter a lot to these leaders of teams. So let's dive into what you just kind of teed up. I think personally, storytelling is one of the most important skills for a modern revenue organization. Okay. And a sales leader needs to be able to teach it, coach it, have it. A rep needs to be able to have it, use it effectively. But even though everybody's talking about storytelling, like there's a lot of people who are raising their hands and say, oh, I'm a storytelling coach, I'm a storytelling expert. Okay. There's a lot of them. And everybody is thinking about it. I have found, and I can't wait to get your take on this. It seems like there are very few, like, really strong storytellers. Because storytelling, I don't think, is about point making and things like that. I think it should be about creating credibility and things like that. Why do you think that the case is that there's so few storytellers that are like elite right now?
Okay, well, I think most of that comes down to a lack of a true definition of what storytelling actually means. So you're so right. Story is this buzzword now. Marketing and sales and really anyone who needs to like promote their business or their products online, like it's such a buzzword. And everybody kind of at this point knows they need to be good at story, but so often people don't actually know what that means. And without that shared definition or way of being able to effectively implement good storytelling, people fill in the gaps and often they go in the wrong direction. So I see a lot of people think storytelling is like, hey, let me tell you a story about a thing that happened to me. Okay. Because it's going to humanize me, because it's going to make me not be a sales robot, right? So like, I'm going to tell you a story about something that happened to me. That's kind of one angle that I see often. There's another sort of, I think, instinct, which is, hey, okay, storytelling is the way that I elicit an emotion from my audience. So this is like the Super Bowl commercial, right? Most Super Bowl commercials are nonsense and actually have nothing to do with the products that they sell. But these are brands that have household names, so they can get away with it. But I think a lot of, you know, non-household name brands or sales folks think, oh, if I can find a way to, you know, not maliciously, but manipulate an emotion, that's storytelling. That's also not quite right. And then there's even like this idea of, okay, you know what? The thing that I sell is like CRM software. It's not interesting. It's not sexy. I need to make my product sound and seem bigger than it is. I need to like really make it something important. So I'm going to build this whole narrative around, it's not just about CRM. It's about changing the world. You know, there are a lot of mission statements out there that are about, we're here to revolutionize CRM, you know, relationship building, whatever. And so there's this desire to use storytelling to make your company or product sound bigger than it is. So those are a lot of times what I see people think storytelling is. And none of those are actually going to help you get in front of the people that you want, develop relationships with the people that you want, and ultimately sell your product. So I can talk about what storytelling is, but I think that's one of the biggest challenges in this field right now is not having that shared definition of a productive use of story.
So you've teed it up awesome. You know that the follow-up is, okay, so what is it? I want to wait though. We're going to wait for that. Because I love your three things of what it's not. I coach sales leaders all around the world. I have a lot of people that I coach, and they're in every industry. It's tech, non-tech. Mm. It's really seasoned leaders and brand new leaders. It's everything. Like, it's that whole gamut. And I see all three of these things show up all the time. You know, the third one, we'll go in reverse order. Like, you're trying to make something not sexy, sexy. It's like we're trying to do the Justin Timberlake, I'm bringing sexy back, but we're really not to bring it back to because it was never there in the first place. Totally. I love that. I love how you said manipulating emotion. People, when they realize they've been manipulated, that I don't think that ever ends well. I think there's zero times where that ends well. And you're right. The what happened to me on the what's that play? Something happened on the way to the forum or something. I got it wrong, but you probably, you know, the sales
funny thing happened on the way to the forum. Yeah.
What happened to me? Thank you for helping me. Salespeople already have a bad rap of just talking about themselves anyway. So why fuel that? So I love your three things of not to. If all we did was have us shine light on, don't use stories for these three reasons, we'd all be better off if we just stopped doing that. Is that a fair thing, way to look at what you just said?
Totally. And again, what I have seen is, you know, going down these wrong paths, it comes from a place of desire to do right, you know, but anytime that we don't have a definition, we don't have a framework, we know we need to do something, but there's smoke and mirrors in front of it. Of course, we're going to try to fill in the gaps, especially folks who are in the sales archetype, who are like hustling and working hard and just want to find the best path to bring product to the right people. So, you know, it usually comes from a place of the desire to do right and just not knowing how. So if you can kind of like close off those paths, that gives you a really good opening to embrace story in a way that is actually effective and powerful. Again, going back to that idea of really connecting.
Okay, so I'm just going to still make everybody wait for your definition. I can't wait. I don't know what it is, but I can't wait. But I want to ask one thing first. Now that we started to tee it up with what it's not, before we get your definition of what it is, I'd love to get your idea of what is the purpose of good storytelling. And I think that's going to fuel your definition, probably, I'm going to guess. But I've always thought storytelling is about creating credibility. It's not about selling. It's not about proving. It's just about credibility. I can't wait. What is your reason why storytelling matters? And then let's take that into what your definition is.
Yeah. So I certainly think establishing credibility is one outcome of good storytelling, but I don't think that that's its sole purpose.
Let's go.
Humans, I think we, and this has been proven through millennia of storytelling, but we are really captivated when we can engage in a story. And there is actually a very tried and true formula to to what makes a good story, which we'll talk about in a minute. Yep. And so part of the reason that storytelling is so powerful in something like sales is that human brains have a place in our minds that we can slot in a good story. So it's speaking from kind of like a psychological and neurological perspective. It's taking advantage of a way that humans know how to engage and connect with each other. So that is first and foremost, it's like a style of communication that works, right? We all know stories. And so we can identify that and see that. And that starts to open up those lines of dialogue. So that's, I think, a big reason. The other is, I think one of the big hurdles that we all have to figure out how to tackle as sales folks or revenue folks is how to establish relevancy with the people that we are talking to. If you are not relevant to them, I don't care how good of a salesperson you are, you're never going to get past that barrier. And so again, when you go down the path of like, hey, here's a story that happened to me, or I'm going to try to elicit an emotional response from you, or I'm going to make my company really sexy. Those things don't help you establish that relevancy, which I really think is the first barrier that we need to tackle as sales folks. So story can help to do that. It opens up a place in our brains that we all know, right? It triggers our understanding. Oh, cool. This is a story. And it enables us as sales folks to establish relevancy with our audience.
Those are both way better than having credibility, right? Way better. And you were like really nice to me about that. You don't need to be. You can say, Rob, you're wrong. And then we'll still be
you're
friends.
You're wrong, Rob. credibility is something that's really important here, but it comes later. So I think that's another mistake that we often see is this belief I need to lead with social proof. I need to lead with credibility or else people aren't going to pay attention to me. That's not actually true. That's a later hurdle we have to get over, but relevancy really comes up there at the forefront.
So I want to say back to you what you just said. I want to make sure I got it right, because it, like most of our best episodes, I always say, like, I'm glad you helped 50,000 people, but right now you're helping Rob. And so like, I hope you guys that are listening like it, I'm loving this. Okay. So the first thing you said was good storytelling, elite story. The word I always use is elite. Good's not what I chose. Elite storytelling captivates customers, captivates prospects, captivates team members, captivates partners. So we want to captivate the people we work with. And I love that, because it's not like you trapped them, but you captivate. Captivate is something that they willingly give you, right?
Exactly.
I love that. That's such a powerful word that I hope every leader is saying, how good are we at captivating a current customer? How good are we at captivating a prospect? How good am I as a leader at captivating the people I lead? Like, is that the right thing for our listeners to be like self-checking on?
I love that word. I just wrote that down in my own paper and pen journal, by the way.
You said it, not me.
Great. I'm taking down my own notes for it, but that's exactly it. You know, I think as consumers, you're right. There are a lot of different perspectives of the function of sales, or, you know, kind of stereotypes of salespeople, and feeling like, okay, I'm going to get trapped into this conversation, or I'm going to get cajoled into this conversation, or, oh my God, it's like an eye roll. But if you kind of position that differently from a sales perspective and say, okay, well, what can I do to captivate an audience? But again, I just come back to that idea with something that's relevant, right? Like something that is relevant to them. And that's going to open us up into how I really think about storytelling. But captivating attention only happens if you communicate something that's helpful, relevant, you know, delivering value to the audience. And that brings us all the way back to that idea of like, I'm not just communicating something, I'm really trying to connect. And so I love the word captivating, and it all stems from that idea of establishing relevance early on in whatever it is your audience is going through.
Awesome. So now I can't wait to hear, what's your definition of an elite story to tell story? Like, I don't care how you do it, if it's a definition, or if you want to get right into the DNA of an elite story, or the what the elements are. I can't wait. Like, Mike, back to you. Let's go.
Awesome. So I would say that the highest level concept that I think is so important to really embrace around storytelling is that you are not telling your own story or the story of your brand. You are telling the story of your customer. You are placing the customer at the center of your story. They are the hero, not your brand. Now, zooming back, most brands, And this trickles down to, you know, marketers, salespeople, most people that are communicating. We are telling our own story. We're putting our brand at the center of the story. We're making our brand swoop in as the hero that saves the day, all the incredible things that we do, right? Well, going back to that idea that humans have been captivated by stories for millennia, we all see ourselves as the hero of our own story. So subconsciously, if I'm encountering all of these brands or all of these salespeople who say, look at how awesome we are. We are great. We're going to save the day. I'm going to kind of think to myself like, okay, well, those are cool things, but I'm actually looking for someone who can help me save the day. That's what I want. I want to be the winner. I want to be the person that gets to step into the light, put on the superhero cape and save the day. So the biggest paradigm shift that most businesses really need to make in storytelling is that you are not the hero. Your brand is not the hero. Your customer is. Now, there is a framework that has been used to fuel stories forever. A lot of people think of this as the hero's journey, right? That's something that a lot of people probably heard of. Now, we have drawn a lot of our methodology from something called the Story Brand Messaging Framework. So I'm going to kind of talk through that a little bit. We've evolved it. We've infused it with a lot of things that we've learned. But this idea is when you tell a story, first, we need to know who the story is about, which again, I'm going to say it for people in the back. It's about your customer. We're putting them as the hero of the story, right? And the hook of any story is when a hero encounters a problem. So when you think about messaging to your audience, you have to identify the problem that your audience, your customer, your hero is encountering such that they care at all about what you have to say. So a lot of brands don't talk enough about the problem that they help solve for their customer. But because this is the hook in any story, talking about the problem that you solve is what takes your company from a nice to have to a must have. So again, going back to that relevance, there has to be a problem, right? If your customer doesn't have a problem, then there is literally no reason to purchase your solution. So that's a really important component of any story is, okay, what is the hero encountering such that they're experiencing a problem? And then the next big stage to talk about here is, well, you're not completely void from the story, right? You're not completely disappeared from the story. Your brand gets to show up in the most exciting role in a story formula, which is the role of the trusted guide. So this is the Gandalf, the Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is like the Dumbledore, you know, fill in the blank, any movie, you'll kind of like have a guide that you can reference. But that's where you get to step in and say, hey, I understand what you're going through. I know this is so difficult, but I have the chops. I have the knowledge and the expertise to help you. So I am here as your trusted guide to help you win the day. So there's more to the formula there, but that at a high level, those are really the ingredients that go along with this paradigm shift of like, you're not telling your own story. You're telling the story of your customer and their problems and pain points and how you can enter into their story and help them win.
That's pretty simple. Three things you gave us. Number one, they're the hero. Number two, you know, what problem does the hero encounter in a way that's really relevant? So they say, yes, that's me. And then number three, the trusted guide shows up at the opportune moment, right? Most things that are simple, it's way easier said than done, I'm guessing.
Yes. Yeah. So I share this, the kind of our framework regularly in keynotes and presentations. And we have a slide that really talks about, okay, there are seven big beats to any good story. And those three that I shared, that's really the top. Those are the most important. There's more to go. But then even within those seven beats, there's actually like 40 different questions that you need to answer as a brand to really build out. This goes into your positioning, the value proposition, how you want to be communicating about, you know, the place that you have in your customer story. But you start simply by just living into this new concept and value of, okay, you know what? I'm actually not talking about my brand. I'm talking about my customer and how we can help them. And that's going to get everyone so far ahead.
So let's sit in this for a minute. This is awesome. That three segments, that's for sure going to be a video clip in Sales Leadership United. We'll have several of them in there that people are going to like. These are going to be great for them to use with their team meetings. I want to talk about number two, where we can insert the hero into a problem that they are familiar with. How do you pick? Like, this has got to be one of the most important things to get right. How do you choose the problems that are prioritized? And I talk about this a lot. Like, this is like something I've been really like focused on for a couple of years now. Yeah, our listeners are going to roll their eyes when they hear me do it again, but you have not heard me do it. So I'd love your response to this. When I trained sales leaders, I used to say everything I needed to know about sales, I learned from Vanilla Ice. You went to the LiveJournal. I'm going to Vanilla Ice, where he has a
Love
lyric that
it.
says, "If there is a problem, yo, I'll solve it." And so all we had to do is find the problem, solve the problem. That was good enough. But now Jay-Z has said, no, that's not good enough. Jay-Z says, I got 99 problems, but your pitch ain't one. Okay. And so there are a lot of problems that don't get prioritized. I have a client that told me they had 98 problems in their technology steering committee that were approved to be evaluated, but only four got funded in 2024. Only four. So, can you give any advice to our listeners around the difference between a prioritized problem and maybe a nuisance? Something that everybody agrees shows up, like the bird poops on my car after I wash it. That sucks. It's a problem, but I'm probably not going to buy like a shield that stays over my car as I drive along. You know, I'll just probably not park by a tree. Any thoughts around that?
Yes. Oh, Rob, I wish you could come with me to every conversation I have about this because that tees up so perfectly to talk a little bit more about how to craft a full story. So I
Let's
got you
go.
started with those big three, right? And that just, I want everybody to start there. I'm going to repeat them again. The first is who is the hero of the story you're telling? That's your customer, it's your audience. Second, what problem are they encountering, right? Such that third, you are an important part of their story. You step in as that
I
trusted
love
guide
it.
role.
Yeah, I love it.
So from there, that's not the end, right? From there, in every great story, the guide gives the hero a plan to win the day. So I love to think about this as like, you know, in Lord of the Rings, Frodo's obviously the hero. I'm a big nerd, so I hope we're going to be in okay territory here. Big nerd.
You're
Frodo
good.
is the hero of Lord of the Rings, right? He's kind of a weak character. He's struggling. He doesn't really know what to do. He has this ring. He's like, what the heck am I supposed to do with it? Well, Gandalf shows up and communicates two things that you have to do to establish yourself as the guide, which is to show empathy for what your hero is going through and authority that you know how to help them solve their problem. If you only communicate empathy, which is, oh, I understand how hard this is, what a burden it is, man, it sucks, you're going to get friend zoned, right? But if you also communicate authority of, and I know how to solve this, I've helped others solve this, that's what establishes you as guide. But it doesn't stop there because you then need to communicate, well, here's how I'm going to help you. That's your value proposition. That's a plan. Now, most value propositions are positioned as a laundry list of all the awesome things that we do. With a slight positioning shift, you can actually communicate your value prop as, here's what we are equipping you with to be successful. So it just, again, it shifts that perspective a little bit to make it relevant to the audience. You need to, of course, call your hero to action because human beings are really bad at dealing with problems. We ignore problems all the time. To your point, it's hard to prioritize problems. And then to answer your question, Rob, something that is missing from a lot of sales messaging in particular are the stakes involved in the story. So if a story doesn't have any stakes, it's not interesting, it's not compelling, right? So you have to communicate what we call the failure stakes or the negative consequences that may come to pass if the hero does not solve this problem. So
I
what's
like
going to
that.
happen, right, if you don't solve the problem? And then of course there's a flip side to it, which are the positive outcomes, the ROI, the success you can expect when you do solve it. So when it comes to problems that aren't being prioritized, usually what you need to lean into then from a messaging and a conversational perspective is, okay, well, here's what's going to happen if you don't solve the problem and communicate those negative consequences. And you don't need to go overboard there. I'm not a big believer in FUD marketing or sales, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. We don't want to be fear mongers, but if there
I
aren't
agree.
any consequences for not solving the problem, people just aren't going to do it. So you have to be able to position those clearly.
Yeah, you're right. Because in a world where budgets are tight and we can only solve so many problems, I like what you just said because the easy answer is connect to problems that people are prioritizing. But if they're only prioritizing four and you happen to be number five, then we got to be really good at having this conversation of here's what happens if we don't, here's what happens if we do.
Yeah, totally. I hear a lot of sales reps, you know, when we engage in messaging workshops and coaching, you know, a lot of people want that magic bullet for how to overcome the objection of, I just don't have budget. I don't have budget. I don't have the money.
Yeah.
And sad messaging is a silver bullet that's going to get your CFO to allocate the budget in this next quarter, right? But if you can start to educate your buyer around those negative consequences, hey, if you don't stop parking under the tree where the bird's going on your car, it's going to start to erode the paint. You're going to start to get rust on your car. It's going to shorten the life cycle of your car by a good 5 years, which is going to appreciate out to X, Y, and Z dollars. That's kind of what you have to deal with. So that might help convince you to start parking elsewhere or investing in a $500, you know, driveway cover or whatever you can do that. So it's those consequences that you really have to start to highlight, and that can help to guide them towards prioritizing this particular problem.
All right, we're doing really good, but I'm down to 15 minutes, if you can believe that. That's how fast this time has gone. Yeah.
Crazy.
15, 16 minutes. I want to ask a couple of things that I'm trying to channel what our listeners are thinking, because this has been incredible. Like, you're even better than I'd hoped, Annie. This is so great. Are there critical, like, you're really good at where the critical moments where sales and marketing interject. That's one of your super powers. Are there like moments that matter? Are there places that you say, hey, here are, like, you might have stories for all kinds of things, but man, here are the three or four that you gotta have. Like, are there any like non-negotiables where if we want to become elite storytelling, do it in these three areas because these are the ones that matter most? I love your head nodding. This will be on the video. I can't wait for people to see. You're like, shut up, Rob. I got to go. Let's go. What do you think?
It's my thinking face. No, I have a really expressive thinking face. So it's such a good question, Rob. Let me share top line thoughts. And then I'm actually really curious your perspective on this because there's so many different ways you can go. So I'm a big believer, wherever possible, in breaking down silos. So one of the things I've been so lucky about in my career is, as I mentioned, I've run inside sales teams, I've run marketing, I've run customer success, lifecycle marketing. So I've seen that experience nose to tail. And I think any opportunity to align those efforts even more closely within a business is only beneficial, and especially from this idea of a messaging strategy and prioritizing it. So I always recommend, whenever a company realizes how important this is, bring together key stakeholders across teams. So marketing and sales, maybe even throw some product folks in there, but go through the exercise of making some strategic decisions at the highest level of the brand about how you want to talk about your business. And that's going through these seven different areas to build out your story and make decisions. These are strategic decisions. These are not decisions that you can abdicate over to ChatGPT, which we see a lot of people trying to do. But this is, how do you want to be perceived as a brand? And what is the role that you want to play in your customer story? So go through that process at a very high level to build out your overall brand message. And once you have that and you get buy-in from execs and the CEO and whoever wants to have their stamp on it, then you've got the blueprint to start churning that out into more niche, more specific stories. So once you've got that done, then think about, okay, are we selling into different industries, right? You know, if you're a cybersecurity company, the story that you're telling to the healthcare industry is going to be really different than the story you're selling to, you know, in public sector education. So think about it from an industry perspective. What problems are they experiencing? What's the value prop there? What are the consequences? Then I like to take it a level deeper. Are there different personas across the buyer journey that you need to really turn into advocates? So a frontline worker is going to have a very different set of problems, needs, you know, stakes than the C-level executive, right? So who's your first point of contact? Who do you need to win over first? How do you then equip them to win over the next person internally? So at that persona level, there are also a lot of nuances into the story. So I like to think of it from like big picture, what's the big plot of the movie, right? And then what are the subplots that you really need to nail? And that, what's great about it is it's so scalable that then every single person on your sales team, if you execute and unroll this correctly, can create their own messages for every key account that they need to go after. And it can be really nuanced and really niche, but it's all cohesive because it comes from the same overarching brand story that everyone on the team is using.
That makes a lot of sense. And so what I jotted down as I was listening to you is there's probably some kind of an alignment story that you have to have. Like there's got to be some, and maybe it's a series of stories that you're ready with because it might be different by industry or by persona or something like that. But it's got to be something that creates alignment. I'm putting my own label on your stuff. Is that the right label or is that the wrong label for it? Because I've been wrong
Oh, so
already on this
great.
call.
No, I'll tell you straight up. No, that's exactly it. You've got to have alignment there. So a part of my sales origin, this was 12, I don't know, ish years ago when tech companies got really cute and clever with their org chart titles. So I
Yeah.
got hired into a role. It was not called a sales role, but as soon as I started onboarding, I thought, okay, so this
I'm in
is a sales
sales.
role. Here we go. And so as soon as I got out of training, I was like, okay, I have to start making cold calls. What the hell do I say? How do I talk about this product? I asked my manager, how do I do that? How do I actually talk about this product? And they said, oh, well, it means different things to different people. So just say what it means to you. And the terror that I left that conversation with, thinking, oh my gosh, I have to make this up and I have to make this up for everybody that I talk to. It was horrifying. And so I think that that's such a useful way, going back to your idea of alignment, is like make the decisions to create alignment at the top of the stack so that everyone on your team can spend their energy on actually connecting and not trying to figure out how to write their own words, and have that burden of work to try to figure out. So I think alignment is a great word to underscore all of this.
By the way, I'm starting page three of my old school notes.
Oh, awesome. Love it.
So that again, like as I got my mind is racing, and I'm trying because I feel like I am our listeners because I'm a sales leader. My next question is: is there skill involved in transitioning from listening to storytelling? For example, I was on a call with someone yesterday that wants to hire me. He got hired. He got promoted as the new VP of sales in his firm 30 days ago. And after 30 days of looking at, he reached out to me. He's like, I want to learn faster. So he told me all of his things that he wanted. He was really well prepared. It was awesome. And so here's what I did. And so tell you coach me now because you're a coach. I use this transition. As I listen to you, it reminds me of. That's what I said. As I listen to you, it reminds me of, and then I shared a story of a different new VP of sales that's now turned into be a 3-year VP of sales, and we've worked together. So I shared that story, trying to put him as the hero. Do we need to have transitions like that? Is that a good transition or is that a crap transition? Do we need to have ways that we can use language to pull people into the story so it's not just a story and we hope it sticks? Does that make sense where I'm going with that?
It makes so much sense. And so what I'm really excited to do, Rob, after this is send you some of the templates that we use to start to plug this information into a great way that can be used on a call in a narrative. So how I might go about that
Love
conversation
it.
is, okay, it sounds like this person, they're in a new environment and they are really looking to like fast track their path to being elite, to use your
Yeah.
language. Like that's what they want, right? They need to really amp up the velocity, I guess, of how they're learning. Well, the problem is right now, they're probably so stuck in the weeds of the day-to-day, it's hard within the confines of the role to lift out of that and start to develop their own leadership skills. So,
Yeah.
Rob, luckily, as the guide in this story, by the way, I just established him as the hero, talked about the problem that he was experiencing.
Yep.
Now, as Rob, you are here because you can totally understand that. You have been there. You know what it's like to be a new VP and to need to scale and show value immediately. And you've helped hundreds of other sales leaders overcome this. I just established you as the guide. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to meet weekly for the next several months. I'm going to guide you through some of these frameworks. I'm going to give you some coaching so we can really figure out some at-bats for you. That's your plan, right? That's what you were equipping him with to be successful. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to book our next coaching call. That's your call to action so that you don't have to feel nervous about, your value with the company, so you can avoid a slow rollout. Those are the negative consequences that I'm making up off the cuff here, Rob, that you are helping
Yeah.
him avoid. And
Yeah.
instead, you can get ready to hit quota and exceed quota within your first quarter. And that's the success. So that was so rough and off the cuff, but those are really hitting on those seven different steps there. And instead of you making it about you are putting yourself as a position in his story.
Because that's why I asked that question as I'm looking back on my notes. If one of our crucial stories or our non-negotiable stories has to be an alignment story. We got to like listen first and then story tell second. And the way the transition that goes from listening mode to inserting them into the story mode, I have to think that's an important skill.
It's so important. And so using this framework, this idea of story can be a really powerful way to guide your discovery calls. And so for upfront communication, what I always like to say is a lot of people resist investing in messaging because they say, well, I don't know, we need to do a lot of research. We need to, you know, gather data. I don't know what my customer's problem is. And I really balk at that because most salespeople have a really good sense of what their audience is struggling with. So if you're doing cold outreach, if you're making sales content, go with the best information that you have around what you believe those problems are. And then once you start your sales journey and conversations, then you can start to reflect back and make it all the more personal.
All right. I'm going to ask you one more thing, and then I'm going to have people start, you know, give you the, how do people connect with you? How do you coach this? Like, this is like, there's all kinds of coaching. There's deal coaching, there's performance coaching, there's individual development. There's all kinds of things. I think the word coaching is maybe the most misunderstood word in all of leadership. But I also think it's the most important skill for a leader to have. And if storytelling is something we're going to treat as a skill, I would imagine part of it is we have a story bank, so we don't all have to create our own stories. And then I would imagine there's ways that we can coach how we use that tool. Are there thoughts around how we coach storytelling and make it part of our sales and our customer success? And it's not just with our customers. Storytelling is going to help us develop people inside our company too, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. So the way that, you know, that we deliver this and what we have found to be the most successful in really adopting this practice across a team is to start before you get into coaching territory, you have to start with workshopping territory. So what we typically do is we'll come in with a company and we'll bring again those key stakeholders from various sides of the business and we guide them through some teaching on this framework. Because once they have that framework, then there is a shared language across teams to be able to start then building out the messaging and doing the coaching. But the first is to really create this framework as a tangible tool in the toolkit of every marketing and sales team. And that builds out, that starts to build out that bank of story, just like you said. From there, then everybody has this framework, they have a shared language, then you can start to coach a sales team to say, okay, so let's think about who is your target account right now that you are just so insistent on going after. Let's think about how to build these seven key areas of your story together and then creatively use that to inform your content. So where we often see the biggest challenge, where it really, really requires some intentional thinking is crafting that story is a challenge in and of itself, but it's one that can be done. But then translating that story into tangible talking points, content, social media content, outreach, that also takes some intention. But you have the ingredients that you need to do that. So we always start with a big picture workshop to guide people through this process. Let's develop that story. And then you can get into more kind of one-on-one granular coaching around it once everybody has the shared framework to draw from.
Oh, yeah, I like you. I like the way you think. I like the way you package things up. There's a lot of leaders right now that are nodding their heads going, yeah, I got to do that. Yeah, I got to do that. So let's make that easy. We're down to our last 3 or 4 minutes. How do people get more of you? How do they connect to you? How do they, you know, find your resources? If you've got a template that you say you're going to send me, well, let's find a way to make it a link. And we'll put the links to that in the show notes, or maybe they just send you an email and then you'll send it to them. I don't care. How do people get you and the resources you have so they can help themselves and their teams become measurably different storytellers?
Awesome. Well, there is literally nothing that I love more than meeting new folks that are running teams that need this work. So decodedstrategies.com, that's our website. Feel free to check that out. We always love having conversations and calls to see if this type of work is something that can be useful. So you'll see ways to book calls there. We also have a lot of resources around our storytelling methodology. So if you're just looking for kind of a quick look to expand on everything that I've talked about today, a lot of resources, decodedstrategies.com. We also launched our own podcast several months ago called Decoding Story-Based Marketing. So we're on Apple and Spotify, Decoding Story-Based Marketing. My co-founder, Kristen, and I, and our host, Bo, talk a lot about all of these things that we talked through here, Rob, but really how to infuse storytelling into our daily practices and motions across sales and marketing. And then finally, connect with me on LinkedIn. I talk about this stuff all the time. I love meeting new folks. You know, we put a lot of our content out on LinkedIn. So Annie Mosbacher on LinkedIn, any of those ways, feel free to drop me a note and shoot me, you know, any questions that you have on it. But we just love inviting new people into the story that we're telling about storytelling because it's really powerful.
We'll put a bunch of links in the show notes. We'll do your LinkedIn. Great. We'll do your podcast, anything we can. We want to make people make it easy for them. I'm telling you, like, I hope you'll check out the video clips that we release. I hope you'll go back and find her resources. Like, there's a lot of people that are talking about storytelling, but Annie, this has been outstanding. We have like a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. I want to finish by just handing it back to you. We've talked about a lot of things today. It started with captivating with relevancy, which somehow is going to work its way into the title, I'm sure, of this episode. And then we've really had some great things, what to stop doing, what to start doing, bad ways to use a good thing. And I think about that old line from the former CEO of IBM, a fool with a tool is still a fool. And so like you're helping people not be a fool about how they use storytelling. All this is good. If you were to put a bow on the stuff we've just spent 45 minutes and went that fast, if you were to put a bow on that, if you were to summarize a couple of final thoughts to a worldwide audience of leaders who I hope are enjoying this as much as I have, what would you say to them?
Mm-hmm. Because storytelling is a universal way that we all can connect with each other, it has to be a priority of any go-to-market motion. So whatever you do, whatever role you are in, whatever team you manage, whatever function you are in, become a champion and advocate internally for prioritizing storytelling, but specifically storytelling that is infused by clear and objective-focused messaging. And this is not an investment that needs to take, you know, 15 months and hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? This is an investment that takes some dedicated time, think like half day to a full day from people who need to have some skin in the game around your messaging, and then a commitment to really putting your customer at the center of everything that you do. It is such an easy thing to prioritize, and it breaks my heart when companies don't do it, because this is often that missing ingredient that can take you from like your 2x goals this year to 10xing. So I just want everybody, no matter what function you are in, SDR to, you know, CEO, CRO, to think about how you can prioritize storytelling, because it is absolutely something that will take you significantly further ahead with that than without.
Drop the mic. That was awesome. Annie, you are awesome. I am grateful that you joined us on behalf of 50,000 leaders all around the world. Thank you for giving us an hour of your time. Her name is Annie Mosbacher. She is a co-founder and chief strategist at Decoded Strategies. She will help you tell stories in a way that makes a difference everywhere you need to tell them, because you will captivate people by using relevancy. I hope you all found this as helpful as I did. Annie, on behalf of a big group of leaders that are clapping their hands like I've been, thank you so much for joining us. I wish you only the best, and I hope we can have you come back again sometime in the next few months.
Absolutely, Rob. This was awesome.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another So What portion of the Sales Leadership Podcast, where we break down that interview and we ask ourselves, why did that conversation even matter? But first, this episode is brought to you by Sales Leadership United. Sales Leadership United has had so much growth, and I am grateful to each of you who have chosen to check it out. Our purpose at SLU is simple. I want to give you access to the largest collection of sales leadership assets in the world. Listen, I coach over 100 sales leaders. They're in big companies, they're in new companies, they're in small companies, they're in mature companies. They're in every industry. They're people that are new to leadership. Some are new to their company. Some are the most seasoned leaders in the world and everything in between. And every single one of them, they want more tools, more insights, more perspective. They ask me questions like, how do you create the new systems? How do you create the foundations? How do you create change? How do you coach? How do you lead up and manage up and connect to a totally different generation? And the number one question I get, what are other leaders like me doing to solve problems like the ones I'm facing right now? And that's why you need to check out Sales Leadership United. All the tools, all the training, all the techniques, perspective that comes from the benefit of thousands of hours of working with leaders from all around the world. Listen, if you haven't checked out Sales Leadership United, head to salesleadershipunited.com and use the code ROB to get a free trial. Man, Annie brought some serious heat. I mean, she brought a lot of heat and I loved it. I had a high expectation. She was even better than I expected, and that was a high bar. I can't believe how fast the conversation flew by, and I loved the insights she had to offer. I am convinced that storytelling is one of the most important skills in the current selling environment. This is something we need to be intentional about as leaders. We should consume as much learning around storytelling as we can. We've got to learn the ways that we should use stories to connect, to learn the ways to write stories and craft stories that are compelling. Because Annie's right. If you do storytelling right, you will captivate your audience. Man, I love that word, captivate. Captivated audiences are connected audiences, and connected audiences are ones you end up having long-term, high-impact relationships with. I love how she started with a fantastic definition of the word storytelling and the purpose of storytelling, because as I thought about what she said, I totally agree. You can't captivate without establishing relevancy, and relevancy, well, that helps you jump over immediate barriers and have a chance to do some good. But the thing that might have been the biggest aha for me was that we are telling the story of the customer. We're not telling our story. We got to be telling their story where they are the hero. I love that she talked about learning the skill of telling the story with the client as the hero. It was a really great way of thinking about it. And I can see how you've got to be intentional and why she's having so much success teaching people how to do that. Now, while this may not be super difficult if you're focused on it, it is going to require to do just that and be intentional and focus to script it and practice it and test it. And then maybe most important, when you do this, you've got to do it in a way that connects to their priorities. All problems are not created equal. It's not enough to have a problem. There's 99 problems and your pitch ain't one. Our job as salespeople is to connect to problems that are priorities and then give these people a reason to believe they can solve these in ways that they like, in a way that makes sense, to make them, as Annie called it, the problem slayer. Storytelling. This is something that will set your team apart from the others that try to work with your prospects and your customers. In fact, I tested Annie's framework pretty quickly after recording this with my college son, who was preparing for a competitive presentation in a competition that his university held. And their work had done a project, and it was awesome. They'd done great work, but he called me and was like, hey, whoever does the best presentation is going to win this thing. So we talked about some of that Annie's elements, and then he got to work, and he planned the story. He created some masterful storytelling. He connected the work his team had done to the priorities of the sponsor. And then he took the other work that he'd heard most of the organizations had completed from the competitive teams, and he made it table stakes. He put them in a box and presented it with something like, man, anybody who's in this competition will do these four things. But those aren't your priorities. Those are just entry to the game. And he went on to share why the things they had done that were different mattered because they connected to the priorities and emasculated most of the solutions. And when it was done, his team won this competition. This competition is sponsored by Lego. This competition was 60 teams in it, all because they rose above the noise with some compelling storytelling. So this week, let's spend some time evaluating how you're helping with storytelling and your team. Build that story bank. Build those storylines. Have frameworks that help your members of your team create a world where the customers and prospects you have are the heroes of the story. You're going to want to head to Sales Leadership United and grab some of the video snippets of Annie and I and use them with your team as she shares her frameworks. The frameworks in here are amazing. And then be a little more intentional about how your team makes stories and transports your customers into them as heroes. Coach it, review it, watch it, tweak it, but be intentional about it because the results will show up fast. Annie, Thank you so much for joining me. Congrats on your success with Decoded Strategies and the work you've done with iconic companies all around the world. I hope each of you uses the links in the show notes to check Annie and the resources she and her team provide. Check out her podcast, download her storytelling template, and ultimately, make sure you create teams of more innovative storytellers who captivate their prospects. Because if there's one thing I hope you got from this conversation, it's that we can never stop improving our storytelling skills. Captivate, don't convince. And then be sure to head to Sales Leadership United for video clips of this conversation with Annie and hundreds of other sales leaders. There will be several videos from this episode you will want to use as you create your own challenges to the leadership DNA of yourself and those you lead. Finally, thanks to each of you, our listeners. The greatest compliment you give is when you share the show with those you work with. So please share it with someone this week. Introduce them to the Sales Leadership United. Leave us another review on iTunes. And you can support the show by checking out Sales Leadership United. Head to salesleadershipunited.com and check it out. You're going to be glad you did. Thank you for your support of the Sales Leadership Podcast. Our job as sales leaders is to create life-changing years for the people we lead. And if you like this message, please share it this week with someone who needs to hear it. And then get after it. Because life is short. You got no guarantee of what comes tomorrow, so maximize your today. Be elite, live strong, and chase your passions, and do your best work so you can live your best life. And don't ever forget, you got this, and I got you. Have a terrific week. Thank you so much for joining the Sales Leadership Podcast, the award-winning sales leadership podcast for those sales leaders looking to create legendary impact to those they lead. The greatest compliment you can give is to share this show and any of your favorite episodes with your fellow sales leaders, social media followers, or other communities you're part of. The Sales Leadership Podcast is brought to you by the Jepson Performance Group. If you want to discuss any of the topics discussed on the show, want to level up your leadership impact, discuss executive coaching services, or even include me at an upcoming event, hit me up at rob@jeppg.com. That's rob@jeppg.com. And to those of you working to become a legendary sales leader, I salute you and wish you much success on your journey. Whenever you need someone in your corner, you know where to find me.